Back to the hard line. Enter at your own risk.
This is the hard line. I'm TJ Moe. Cam Jansen here as well. Eric Messersmith popped out a little early. He'll be back around at some point. John Hadley is here as well. 855-282-8255. We have not read any text messages in a while here. Let's see. Hadley needs to line up this sponsor. Cam, what's that say?
Whistle Pig. The Boss Hog Whiskey. It's right up to his alley.
Big Al Song at White Castle.
Hadley, I have not gotten around to watching this particular sporting event, so here's my entire meaningful opinion on said sport. What the? Jesus.
They were making fun of him. You want me to read it? Hadley says, I have not gotten around to watching this particular sporting event, so here is my entirely meaningful opinion on said sporting event.
I thought he was talking to Hadley.
855-282-8255. That is a Ryan Kelly phone line. So, Rock, can you cue up that video I asked you to? I want to set this up here, and you guys can hear the sound. This is, give me 1 second here, Rock. This is Jake Olson. Now, the story behind him is pretty incredible. He is a long snapper for USC. Now, USC did not have the easy game they thought they were going to have this weekend. They're playing Western Michigan. And it was, at one point they were losing, I believe in the fourth quarter, it was right around 30, 31, something like that. They ended up winning 49 to 31. The 49th and final extra point was a memorable one. Chase McGrath made an extra point after a snap from Jake Olson, who is blind. Now, Olson joined the USC football team in 2015, has had a long relationship with the football program dating back to the Pete Carroll era. Because of retinoblastoma, Olson had one eye removed at 10 months old. The other was removed at age 12. A USC fan, Olson connected with Pete Carroll and spent time with the team. ESPN did a really cool story on that a while back. I believe it was on a College Game Day thing where everybody was just kind of... this is the kind of cool stuff. When we talk about Pete Carroll, you have to include this in the story because he touches people.
That was really cool, man.
So Olson became a long snapper in high school, and after working with the USC team the past 2 years, I think he was a manager of some sort, just kind of taking care of stuff. He wanted to be around the program because Pete Carroll had welcomed him in. Clay Helton, who is the head coach now, welcomed him to the team. He participated in the spring scrimmage. He took the field for his first game action on Saturday, and this is what it sounded like.
Snaps him up, kicks at USC spring games, but he's never done this in a live football game. So here he is.
So Jake Olson, how about this for an inspirational moment? He is out there snapping. And a good snap from Jake. Listen to the crowd. Look at the USC sideline.
Dude. I'm an emotional guy, don't get me wrong.
That gives you chills.
It gave me chills, man. When he was walking on the field and he had his hand over his teammate's shoulder pad and he was guiding him over there, God almighty, that killed me.
Think about
him,
that. They got to say line up right here, foot to foot, you're in the center. So also the background on this, obviously, you can't hit the center until after he snapped, but then they could have bum rushed him. So Clay Helton called the Western Michigan coach, Tim Lester, before the game and offered not to rush on the first extra point if Western Michigan agreed to call off the rush if Olson ever took the field for the snap. So he said, listen, you guys are going to score a touchdown. First touchdown, I won't rush my guys at all. But if I send this kid on, you'll get it. You'll know who it is. Kid's blind. Yeah. Just let him do his thing here. And he did, and it was perfect snap.
Yeah.
And what a cool moment. You're talking about so he had one eye. At 10 months old, he lost his eye. He had one eye. He could actually see until he was 12.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. He could see until he's 12.
Yep.
So it's not like he's never had eyesight. He had it, and all of a sudden it's gone. Like, that's got to be way, way worse.
And there is a really cool thing from him. I'm going to send this to Rock, actually, to play as well. And this is the kid after the game. Rock, if you can get this queued up for me, I'm sending it to you on your phone here. And he just had it's nothing too crazy. You just hear from the kid. It's a 42-second clip here as he's talking about his snap. But this is why college football in particular is cool. College Game Day always does something awesome. Game Day with Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit and those guys. And what they do is they pick a touching story always. And I'm telling you, like, we used to sit in our hotel rooms, and everybody watches College Game Day. You just watch ESPN and watch them preview everything. And our team a couple years was really good, so they were always previewing our game. So it's kind of interesting to see all the stuff. But there's always one moment in there that they come down and they just touch you. And Rock, there it is. He will cue that up for you shortly. But there's always that one moment that just gets you. And it is a
well, that was it the other night.
Yeah, I mean, you tear up, and it's you don't see too many things like this. Nah. I mean, that it's a rarity, I think. In
football's
in,
good about that stuff. In high school too, they do this quite a lot. I see it on Facebook a ton.
So here is Jake Olson talking about his snap after the game.
You know, heard my name being called over the PA system, and again, you know, we always say we're a family. You know, Coach Helton drives that into this team, and we all feel like we're brotherhood and definitely a family. And so just to be out there knowing I just had the support of my team, and, you know, obviously you saw just the support and love I got when I ran back out, and, you know, it's something so special. And I think that more than anything really touches me, and just to see so many guys just absolutely embrace and love me on this team, and that's especially Coach here, and that's just something that, you know, when I'm running out there, it takes away the nerves and any anxiousness I have, just because – I just have guys that just love me and are supporting me.
Now, does he not have any eyes at all?
They replaced him with something.
Oh,
yeah, they had to remove the eyes.
So he's got two fake
retinoblastoma. Yes. Yeah. So is where you get into. Have you ever heard anything like that? I mean, football is kind of so. In football, you always see like Nebraska did this years ago in their spring game. I've never seen anybody do something like this with a guy actually participating in the game, but.
Because both teams need to agree on that, too.
That was awesome.
And good for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was 49-31.
Yeah,
you scored your last touchdown. Let's go ahead and pack it in. Now, they do a cool thing. In spring games, oftentimes, a kid will have, like, you know, some sort of death sentence and some kind of cancer, leukemia, whatever.
Autistic.
Yes.
In high school,
and they'll give him a handoff, and everybody runs up and down, and they'll run all the way down.
I just saw that there. Who did that? Some high school. Somebody. I don't know.
Well, Nebraska did it in front of 90,000 fans. And that was incredible. Yeah. You see some stories like that. You've seen this in this was ESPN
too. Also, the one where KU let the guy who was like on the who played for KU back in like 53. They like brought him back for a spring game and had him run a touchdown. He was a running back in like the 50s KU. They brought him back and had him run a touchdown at like 89 years old. That was awesome.
Interestingly, that was the only touchdown they scored that year.
There is a couple though. If you go on Facebook and try to look this stuff up, you'll get one that. You'll think it's a kid walking. Everybody's going to let him score a touchdown. Oh, yeah. And some guy, some safety comes out of nowhere, just bulldozes him and celebrates. Yeah, no, that's not real.
So there's also that one. And this one, the ESPN had a great story on this one. There's an autistic kid who was, this is basketball, who was a manager.
Yes, I saw that.
And he came in and hit like 6 threes.
Yeah.
He got to, I mean, it's like he missed his first one. Everybody's like, oh. And then dude came in and just caught fire.
Yeah.
That was incredible. So those stories, I think, are... Why
football's the best with that?
Anybody can do them.
Hockey's difficult.
You're right.
Hockey's a difficult one.
Hockey is difficult.
That's a tough one, man.
I'm trying to look up the kid's name. The autistic kid the dude scored 20 points. His name was Jason McElwain, I think. If you guys want to look that up,
and the celebrations afterwards are the best when everybody jumps.
Oh yeah, the student section went nuts.
Oh, they went crazy.
Yeah, that is a rarity. 855-282-8255. If you'd like to call in, make Rock's job pretty difficult because he doesn't know how to work the phone lines.
Yeah, call
in. That is the Ryan Kelly phone line.
Scramble.
855-282-8255. That is the text line as well. T-Box says, "I tear up every time Hadley opens his mouth."
Well, we don't know where he's at, so.
He did disappear on us.
Didn't he, though?
Kirk Daddy says, long snapper is what my ex is what I call my ex-girlfriend. What a coincidence. Interesting.
I'm sure she loves that nickname.
White Marcus says, good for USC, but I don't see it working out long term. He is not your long snapper. He just came in for that one time.
Is he serious with that?
I thought he was full-time. I think he thinks he was doing it every time. He just came in for the one time.
Yeah,
he's not
your
full-time long snapper.
No,
yes, that probably wouldn't work out because teams aren't going to play nice with you.
As they shouldn't.
Yeah, which is fine. But, yeah, I mean, I think – now, Clay Helton has said this is not going to be the only time we do this. If we're up, we want to let the guy play. Because when he does come in, he snaps the ball well. And
it depends on how much you're up. You got to be blowing a team out.
You get some non-conference games where you do that, or you just run it up against some good teams.
Run it up, because if it's pretty close.
And USC's good, dude.
Yeah.
USC's really good. Now, Sam Darnold didn't play very well this past week, but as you heard Michael Lombardi say just a second ago, if he had to start a team, it'd be Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
That'd be the guy he'd take.
Is that kid just a freak of nature or what, Sam?
Sam Darnold?
Yeah.
He when you watch his film, so he didn't start the beginning of last year when they played USC opened against Alabama. I think it was in Jerry World last year, and he didn't start. They started another guy, and they got blown out of the water. Lane Kiffin, if you remember the story, got fired on the tarmac at LAX when he was the head coach at USC. Okay, then he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama. So naturally, he wanted to kill USC when they played, and he did. He ran up the score. I can't remember what the final score was, but just obliterated them. USC was arguably a top four team. Like last year when I was saying, who do I want to see? I know they haven't earned it because they had a few losses, but who do I want to see? I wanted to see them in the playoff. Why? Because you saw what you saw against Penn State. Sam Darnold is arguably the best quarterback we've seen since Andrew Luck. I mean, he's that good. When you watch him play, he's not that. That's why I wanted to talk to Michael Lombardi about that, because Sam Darnold is, he's not perfect mechanically, and he does a lot of stuff where he'll go back and forth and whatever, but he just makes plays. And you can't explain it necessarily. You're like, ah, this, what? There's just not that many guys that can do that.
Who do you compare him to?
Andrew Luck. Yeah. I mean, Andrew Luck does have perfect mechanics, actually, though, and that's the difference. But he's a, like, Andrew Luck just made plays. You're like, where did that, he's a good athlete. Yeah. Where did that come from? It's that type of thing. Whereas Josh Rosen has perfect mechanics. Now, his problem is that he comes in and everybody's like, does this kid even love the game? Does he even like the game? Now, if you get that tag on you, good luck.
Oh, boy.
Because you've heard, and you heard Michael Lombardi was, maybe it wasn't Michael Lombardi. Somebody was on Twitter talking about this, and they said basically, like, okay, watch that fourth quarter and tell me that Josh Rosen doesn't love this game, because he went, I had the stats for him. It was on a picture. Let me see if I can find that. 45-44 win over Texas A&M. He had 491 yards through four touchdowns, and he was trailing by 34 points. Texas A&M was winning 44-10, and with like 2:06 left in the third quarter. By the way, the exact same time that was left when the Patriots scored in Super Bowl is when they scored for. Okay, so he hit through for 292 yards in the fourth quarter through all four of his touchdowns. That would be a great stat line. His fourth quarter would have been an unbelievable stat line for anybody. And he did that all in one quarter. So what they're saying is, tell me that kid doesn't love the game. I don't think one quarter of playing really well means you love the game, because as you know this, Cam, if you love the game, you're prepping in the summertime at 7 o'clock when you don't have something
out. Well, you don't have too many games where you just show up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is, just because you go out and play well, that tells me nothing about whether or not you love the game. Well, you may have a ton of talent, too, which he does. He's incredibly talented. He may be more talented than Sam Darnold, really. But when somebody loves the game, they sit in meetings. They're film junkies. They're weight room junkies. They're conditioning junkies.
Looks like they're having fun, too.
Yeah, you're right. And like Brett Favre, right? Could anybody ever say Brett Favre didn't love the game? Absolutely not. Watch his a Football Life on Brett Favre, and he is incredible.
Ironically enough, you know what Josh Rosen has going against him that really hurts the whole, you know, how dedicated the game is? It's that football isn't life and death for him, because his parents are doing fine. And you see that all the time.
Yeah, Rock, so are mine. And football was life and death for
him. But I'm saying is that when the big-name guys have big-name parents behind them, they get hit with that all the time. It's because there's this
But nobody ever questioned mine, and I had parents that had some money.
That's true, but I'm just saying, when you talk about the big names, I'm saying when other big quarterbacks, when Matt Leinart was sitting back, people questioned, is he dedicated to football? Yeah, it's because he enjoyed college, but it was also because he comes from a pretty good family. How much does he actually care? Does he need football? And that gets thrown on the big-name guys.
I think that's unfair.
I think it is unfair, but I'm saying it gets tossed on them. And I'm saying that's working against Rosen is because people have this bias against athletes who are fine off the field. We even saw Johnny Manziel get hit with it too. Now he was a party boy and he kind of accentuated it. But people talk about how Johnny Manziel's family life was fine. Johnny didn't love football.
And some of the Matt Leinart, I don't know what his stuff is. I know he went to USC because of the time they showed him on his official visit.
That's why he stayed next year, because he liked the college life.
And it doesn't mean that you can't be great. Dude won the Heisman.
No.
Right? Both those dudes won the Heisman. It doesn't mean you can't be great in college. It means when you get to the NFL, you can't live that life.
Yeah, my point being is that the media makes up some stupid stuff.
Tim Tebow did love football.
That's what I mean. Duchess of Rutter. Tim Tebow. Rich parents. I don't think anyone loved the game more.
Yeah. I, again, baseball, too. I think it's an unfair criticism, but I think unless you are Tim Tebow and you have and you're just like this unbelievable like fireball on the sidelines, people hit you with
it. I think that can go either way.
I think that's not true. Why? Because where does this stuff come from, Rock? It comes from the coaches. Now, whether or not the coaches will never say they actually said that, but when these NFL guys say that, because they go talk to the college coaches and they say, what's this kid like inside the weight room? And what's this kid like inside the film room? And does he really love this game?
And the guys like him.
If you're hearing that about yourself, you better go take that up with your own coaches, because they're the ones sharing it with the NFL guys.
Rock, I think that goes both ways, too. I think guys growing up with a single family in a bad neighborhood, getting caught up with a lot of different things, your buddies, this and that. So I think that can go both ways, where they're just not into it because they have a social life.
Nothing I'm saying is, I'm not talking about actualities here. I'm talking about the conversations around it and the perceptions of people. I'm not talking about actualities at any point.
I'm telling you, dude, and maybe it's a misconception from your own coaches because of that happening, but bottom line is your own coaches are the ones reporting that. Because NFL guys don't just come up and then if you give a great report about a guy, they're gonna say coaches love him and he's a film junkie.
His teammates like him.
That is what your coaches. So the NFL guys take it for your word. Why? Because if you lie to them, then eventually they stop. Now this is what big thing about Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer recently has said you got to actually tell the guys, the NFL guys, that your players. Okay, I got your back, dude. But the bottom line is you have to be able to tell these guys the truth. So, John Hadley is coming up shortly here, and I believe we're going to have Alan Bennis on the phone as well.
Rock, couple texts here. Good for USC, but I don't see it working out long term. Knocko turkey neck. Has Kipper given that kid a draft projection yet?
Kiper. I'm not seeing what you're reading that. Sorry, I was reading a text from Hadley. What'd you say?
Has Kiper given that kid a draft projection yet?
Josh Rosen?
Yeah.
He's going to be first rounder. He absolutely is. So that is the story there. Now, we all talked about Lamar Jackson, too, and Michael Lombardi said his kid was down there in Louisville for 3 years. He said he is incredible. So we will we'll get to see on these kids. I'm excited because this, I think, is actually a bit, like we've heard about quarterbacks over the years, you know, as we're seeing with the Rams, Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, some of these kids. Carson Wentz, obviously smaller school kid, and similar to probably what you're seeing with Josh Allen, the kid up at Wyoming, where looks awesome, whatever, but a smaller school kid you don't know against real competition. I'm Sam Darnold, I think, is going to be. I mean, the Jets are trying to lose
to get him.
In hopes that he can figure it out and that Sam Darnold will declare and that can be their pick because the kids want him that bad. joining us now, Cam, on the Ryan Kelly phone lines is former Cardinals pitcher.
You got Alan?
Alan Bennis. Alan,
welcome
to the hotline. What's up, man?
What's up, guys?
Not much, dude. Just in this new studio. Which hopefully maybe you'll stop by once this beer garden gets all sorted out and have a beer, and then you can come on live with us, Alan.
Yeah, actually, that sounds pretty darn good about now.
Oh, yeah. I bet it does. So with the Cardinals, man, they had a pretty good outing the other day. Carlos Martinez, dominant. Could we see more consistency from him? I mean, he threw some electric stuff. He looked great. He went full nine innings. I mean, can we see more of this? What do you think? What is going to take for him to do this? He pitched unbelievably, but can we see this consistently from him? And how is that possible?
I think it's just a matter of time, and he's going to get there. I think we all hoped that he would be a little more consistent this year than he's been, but you can't doubt his stuff. It's always been there. It's just been a matter of him maturing to where he can focus on a consistent basis. He can win games when he doesn't have his best stuff. If he has good stuff and he's feeling good, nobody's going to beat him. But the other 15 times he goes out there or 20 times, that he goes out there where he feels okay or he might not feel so great. Those are the times where, mentally you have to just say, okay, I'm going to find a way and get it done. You know, even when he doesn't feel the best, he can go out and win games. And I think, he's still relatively young, but I definitely feel that there's a lot more from him, and I'm glad we have him on our team. And I look forward to seeing, like you said, a little more consistency going forward into next year.
Alan, what do you think about Jack Flaherty's performance? He got beat up a little bit, made it four innings. After the game, Mike Matheny said he had his stuff, he just didn't execute his pitches. I don't actually understand what that means, because usually if you got your stuff, you're executing your pitches, it would seem. Can you explain that?
Yes. I was pretty excited about what I saw. I had never seen him pitch before, and I thought he had good stuff. I thought he has a good fastball. You know, you guys were joking last time about a live fastball, and I said that about Weaver. You know, Flaherty's got some, he's got some sneakiness to his fastball, and what that means is that he's real smooth. He kind of throws the ball nice and easy, and the ball jumps out of his hand. I think he's got a good fastball, and I think he's got a really good slider from what I saw, and a good changeup. So he definitely has the pitches. What it means when he has his stuff but he doesn't locate is that, you know, his stuff's good, meaning that his fastball's good. He's throwing hard. He's got zip on the ball. He's got life. He's got sharp break on his breaking balls, except he's just not, you know, hitting every spot that he needs to hit. He's leaving some balls in the middle of the plate that are getting hit. And I personally, I don't like to see young kids go out there and have really good games their first time out. I would rather see, and I don't know what it is, it's just me, but I would rather see a guy struggle a little bit like Flaherty did, because I think it helps you grow and learn from your mistakes, and the next time out you're a little hungrier and you know, you're a little bit better. So in the long run, I see good things from him.
Alan Bennis, two questions for you. I thought I had it all figured out.
You don't.
About 5 years from now, when they put me out to pasture, I knew I was going to get me a place in Jupiter. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get me a place in Jupiter, and I'm going to get me a place in Santa Monica. But then I fell in love with Boulder. So then it was going to be Jupiter, and then it was going to be Boulder.
Where are you going?
What about
this?
Santa Monica, though, huh?
Well, because I figure I got the ocean in Florida, and this place in Santa Monica I'll probably never be able
but
to
afford.
But
what about L.A., though? What about L.A.?
How about anywhere but here?
Here's my point. I just spent the weekend in Pasadena.
Ooh.
And I have fallen in love with Pasadena. So, Alan, if you had to pick between Boulder, Santa Monica, and Pasadena, which way would you
That's
go?
That's a great question.
That, you know what? That's a tough question. I think you know, the last place that you go seems like you fall in love with anywhere that has good food and good beer and maybe a pack of smokes, right?
Exactly.
That question was worse than mine.
To me, that's the perfect wife.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of ways you could go. I think Boulder's great. I've been there, and it's beautiful. Obviously, Jupiter, you can't beat Jupiter. You can go to spring training games, nice, relaxed atmosphere, and have a heck of a time all spring. There's plenty of places to fish down there. You know, I don't think you can go wrong, Hadley.
I think Jupiter's a definite. I just got to find a second place.
If anybody can go wrong, it's Hadley.
But my second question is, I was pleasantly surprised to see Justin Verlander dealt, and it was funny because I'm just listening to a few people driving around LA listening to sports radio. It's like Verlander over the course of the last half of the season has been in fuego. He's been on top of his game. I think that's a potential game changing pickup that's not getting proper attention.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that's flown under the radar a little bit because of his age. And, you know, the last couple of years, I think he's slowed down some, but I agree with you. He is a very good, you know, he still has very good stuff. And the last couple of years, he might have had a couple issues where his arm might have been bothering him at times, but I would agree that for the Houston Astros, that's exactly what they needed, and he's going to be huge for them, especially when you get into the playoffs. In the playoffs, it's hard for young pitchers to, you know, be able to go out and do what they know how to do because of the stage that they're on. And so Verlander's been there, and he's done that, and you know, I see that as a great thing for the Houston Astros, a great pickup. He's gonna do a good job for them. Now, is he gonna be a difference maker? I don't know, but he's definitely going to help them come playoff time.
That's 5'9" insider Alan Bennis. Alan, thanks for joining us, man. We'll catch up with you soon.
See you, buddy.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
All right, man. Cam.
Yo.
I got to tell you about LouFest.
Yeah, yeah.
I do. 5'9" The Fan is partnering with LouFest once again this year and offering 1- and 2-day passes for our exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September 9th and 10th. Cam, it's the 5th today. This is coming up.
No, it's next Saturday. I'm going.
This is Saturday.
No, I know.
This is brought to you, Cam, by Bud Light, Bar Louie, and Country Financial. Music acts include Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Cage the Elephant, mm-hmm. Run the Jewels, Spoon, Marian Hill, and so many more. For the same price as general admissioners, listeners have access to our dedicated bathrooms.
Dude,
Cam, you know how important that is.
Unbelievably important.
Dedicated bathrooms. Yes. I believe the Plowhawk made some money off of that and was on Channel 2 because he was allowing people into his bathroom. Because if you don't have a dedicated bathroom,
well, we're gonna
it's
do
a
that
rough
too,
time down here. So it also has a private cash bar sponsored by Bar Louie, outdoor lounge, long games with prizes, and, of course, mingling with some of your favorite 590 show hosts like John Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
The tickets are first come, first serve, and are on sale now. Visit InsideSDL.com and get yours before they're gone.
I am very much, I'm a big Cage the Elephant guy.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And I met their lead guitarist at Vintage Vinyl a couple years ago.
Yeah, he'd probably be there.
They were playing down. What's that little amp? The pageant.
Yeah, damn right.
Look at you.
I was down there eating a hamburger at some restaurant everybody loves. What's a place that has a good hamburger?
Damn,
down
they got
there?
Some good food right there, though, man.
You know,
Blueberry Hill.
Blueberry Hill. So I'm at this Blueberry. I'm at this Blueberry Hill thing, which is pretty cool.
Damn good.
And I'm with my son, and so I stopped by the Vintage Vinyl because I've always been a Vintage Vinyl guy.
Yeah, that's cool.
I just like to buy. I like to buy the old album covers, and then I frame them and I have them in my office.
Yeah, I like the look.
Seriously.
Yeah, I hear you.
So anyhow, I make a long story short. My son says, "Hey, that's so and so." So I went up. I talked to the guy for 20 minutes.
Cool cat.
Very nice
down
guy.
To earth.
Very
is he from
nice
St. Louis?
Guy. I have no idea. No, actually, I think he's from Tennessee. Originally
he's
from
in
Tennessee
town just
or something.
At the pageant.
Yeah, yeah. Cage the Elephant was playing at the pageant.
Sometimes when you meet those kind of guys, it's hit or miss. They could be just so out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
They were just nerds in school. They were social. Well, I can't say the word, but they didn't socialize with anybody, and all of a sudden they became popular. They don't know how to react to all these people coming at them. It's
that goes
bizarre.
10 years
with athletes too.
Right. 10 years ago, sitting over at Westport Plaza, I was at a restaurant bar over there with a few folks. And I had just heard some music from this band, a very famous band. The singer's name rocked. The guy's name is Fred something.
Durst?
Fred Durst. Is Fred,
slip
hold
biscuit?
On. Is Fred Durst the guy? Is Fred Durst the guy who banged a bunch of like
yes,
gorgeous
yes,
okay,
yes,
so
yes.
Anyhow. So anyhow,
Britney
I just.
Spears, I honestly thought he was going to go with Freddie Mercury and
I was
Queen
gonna,
there.
I believe he's
no,
dead.
So I met this Fred Durst guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went up and I said, dude, I said, I dig your music. I said, I just want to introduce myself and let you know that an old boy like myself appreciates your music. I sat at the table with him for 45 minutes.
Was
he was
cool?
Everybody told me the same thing that you. Were we talking about the same guy? I said, yeah.
He might be cool, man. That's cool. That's cool, man. Honestly, like some again, it's hit or miss with those kind of guys. Yeah. I hate his music, though.
Can we got to go to break
really?
First?
Yeah.
They'll have
Tomor Dew at that place, too, I'm sure. For those who make the corner of the world a little more interesting for us all, there is only one drink that will do, John Haley, and that is Tomor Dew, the official Irish whiskey of the Hardline, a whiskey of true character. Glasses up to responsible drinking.
That's Cam Jansen. I'm TJ Moe. John Hadley here as well. We are the Hardline on 5'9 The Fan, 105.7 H2FM, and InsideSTL.com.